The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Now, we've been running a series all this week looking at Gen Z and the socialising trends that are changing, and how drink consumption over the last 25 years across all platforms, retail and drinking out and pubs, is down 35% despite a growth in population. And so less alcohol being consumed, maybe less going out. So what impact is this having on the nightlife and industry across the country? Well, two people who know all about this join me in studio now. DJ Niall Byrne, a.k.a. Niler 9, that's the figure 9, and Donal O'Keefe, CEO of the Licensed Vintners Association. You're both most welcome. Let me start with you, Niall. From your observation with people now pre-drinking in their home beforehand, and also, you know, swipe right, swipe left, modern dating and how that works with apps, are people not as heading out as much, or are they? Is the era of the nightclub coming to an end?
With that, in that case, I mean, there's many different factors that involved. Obviously, there's been changing habits in terms of alcohol, as you mentioned, and then also the way that people go out. But also, it's been much more difficult and much more expensive to go out lately. And I think people are feeling the squeeze generally in terms of cost of living, and that doesn't help. And that also comes back on the nightclub side. I mean, nightclubs are a very small number, really, compared to what we're talking about, late night entertainment. There's not that many nightclubs now, as you mentioned. But
So in town, on a Friday, Saturday night. So you've gone to your local, right? Or you've gone to an in-town pub. Where could you go on to?
Well, these days, a lot of people don't just go out with an aimless, oh, we might go out and maybe go out to the club. They go to occasions for nightclubs and go to occasions for a late night dance. Like, dance music is basically the default, de facto youth culture at the moment. It's huge. And it's really changed. Like, that is where people want to go. And all of the events that happen in terms of like places like Index, we've seen Silo doing RDS stuff early 5 p.m. till 10 p.m. Those are huge. There's a huge events. They are kind of the dominant youth culture at the moment. So,
but they're not every weekend. They're kind of like a concert.
No, so things have changed in terms of people going out every week, for sure. I think mainly because it's more expensive. And, you know, for me, I'm a bit older, so I don't go out as much.
And are they ticketed items? Like,
absolutely. Yeah, we're talking like...
You can't just walk in.
No, they're sold out in advance, a lot of them, 20, 30 quid. Like, you see the Academy on Middle Abbey Street has been turned into Index now. It's so popular. So that's the late night offering there instead of what it used to be, which was a more maybe generic club. So people are really going for the DJs and stuff like that now. They're going for the music.
The other thing I noticed over the years, like, my youngest kid is 30 and up to 38, and I myself am 65. So I've seen different iterations. But you go into a place and, you know, and you could be 24 and you feel like an old person. Like, you know, there are different genres of age and what's cool and what's hip and what's
in place.
Is it age segmented?
Well, I think it is at the moment. You're seeing the early clubs happening for the over 30s. They're hugely popular at the moment, because I think people just need somewhere to meet and gather and be social. And you're seeing those over 30s clubs where people are gathering early in the night. It is a problem at the moment in terms of the amount of spaces. As somebody who puts on events, you're very limited in terms of the kind of spaces you can get access to, in terms of you can book. But I think it is interesting. I think a lot of what comes down to the nightlife situation at the moment is there's not a lot of flexibility around it. So that means that you're kind of, okay, we have to do this early night thing because we can't get a late night thing. And then that also breeds into the habit of there are people want to go out early, and that's great. And I think anything that...
And go home early?
Go home early, yeah. But home by 10 o'clock or before, yeah.
Oh my God. All right. I give up on these snowflakes. Donal, educate me in terms of, you're younger than me, but you've seen the different sort of evolution of the nightlife scene. But in Dublin, tell me what's available right now. What are Gen Z doing?
Well, I think post-COVID, they're back in the pubs, which is one of the silver linings of the pandemic. You know, Niall is right. People want to meet in person. They want to socialise together. So we've seen a big recovery in people in their 20s back in pubs that really weren't there prior to COVID. And it's all around that social interaction. You know, they had their fill of home entertaining and home parties during the pandemic. So they're out and about in pubs. But in Dublin, you know, the pub scene is essentially segmented by geography. So town is very different to the suburbs. Suburbs are much more traditional, much more food-led, much more regular hours. And Town Inn, particularly, obviously Temple Bar, but Dublin too generally, is big in late bars. And one of the reasons why nightclubs have got under a lot of pressure is that the late bars fulfil a lot of the same role. But we would still think there's a big case for a nightclub licence in Dublin. We think there's a serious case for proper late night socialising, going to 4:30 or 5 after late bars close. And that would be more than Sled Moore, what a traditional nightclub is. We also think, and we're seeing it in the pub scene, the market is segmenting fast. So people are picking their venue based on its drinks offer, its food offer, its music offer. And what people in their 20s are after is very different to what people in their 40s are after, is very different to what people in their 60s are after. So, you know, one of the styles of pub that's most in trouble now is the pub that's trying to be all things to all people, because that's not going to work anymore.
Is that in terms of the music playing or what? Because, well, you know, the way you'd have Neil Diamond at, you know, like in a wedding, and then they'd all get up and dance.
Yeah, yeah, of course. But in, we'll say in the pub scene, there is a big difference between pubs that are music-led and the rest. And pubs that are music-led are in the very small minority. You know, music is a big part of the late bar scene, is a big part of what happens in town. And on a Saturday night in selected pubs in suburbia, a DJ or a live band would be playing. But your average traditional pub doesn't feature music much. You know, they're much more around the drink offer, the food offer, and people meeting and interacting. So the music scene is a niche within the pub scene.
Okay. Now, just segregate alcohol for a moment. Like, I am shocked by the fact that total statistics, whether you get it in Lidl or Aldi or whatever, total drink consumption, despite the growth in population, is down something like a third since the change of the millennium. I get that the old fellas like me drinking 17 pints is over. Right, I get that. But now they'd rather go to the gym and so on. Well, what's happening in terms of alcohol consumption? More alcohol with food? And there's a thing, you know, I've heard you speak at LVAVN's premiumization. Mm. But what's going on?
Well, I suppose the first thing to recognise is people are drinking less. At all ages, young, old, middle-aged, at all ages, people are drinking less. And per capita consumption is down a third over 20 years. That's a long-term trend. It's for a variety of reasons.
And is it a global trend? Or just
it's a global trend, yeah. It's a global trend in developed economies.
Okay.
In developed economies. And within that, which is very difficult for us, there's a big change in the channel. And by that I mean 20 years ago, 3/4 of alcohol was consumed in pubs and clubs and hotels and on-premise venues. Today we think it's 2/3 from the off-licence, 1/3 in the on-trade. So a huge change in the channel and less per capita consumption generally. And within that, the younger generation, and that the Gen Z, are drinking far less. So they don't...
Is it a health kick?
It's a combination of the cost of alcohol, lifestyles, getting up early for a long commute.
Or maybe more drugs. Committed,
and certainly drugs. And certainly drugs, yeah.
They're getting their high in an alternative way.
Certainly drugs.
So I was doing a gig in the Mansion House the other day, the Round Room, and I met someone in Café on Seine for a cup of coffee, and their partner was with them. I said, will you have a drink? I couldn't believe it. I nearly had to take out a second mortgage. They had a cocktail and it cost €18. Like, what's that about?
Well, that's premiumization in action. They're drinking less, they're drinking higher quality, and because they're drinking less, they're prepared to spend a little more for something special.
So, I want to ask both of you, starting with you, Niall, the legislative regulatory environment for the nightlife economy. So, the previous government and Leo Varadkar was all in favour of a law change which had, you know, which became sort of a figure of abuse by Charlie Flanagan and Michael Ring, saying, oh, the pubs will be open till 6 a.m. You know, people are concerned about housing and health. They're not concerned about pubs being open 6 in the morning. What's your take on what needs to be the optimum regulatory environment? My attitude is live and let live. If you want to stay out all night, as long as I don't have to, you know, that's fine.
Yeah, well, I think that's correct. I think a lot of it's to do with the flexibility of the licensing laws at the moment. We're still talking about the 1935 Dance Hall Act, for example, and then there's all of these kind of archaic systems in place for, no, I don't run a nightclub myself, but, or run a late bar, but, you know, you have to play the special exemption orders, all this kind of stuff.
What would you advocate?
I'd advocate for more flexibility in terms of being able to open. Like, it shows that there's a recent Give Us the Night report about this kind of stuff, and it shows that the people that the nightclubs and the organisations who would like to open later are really minimal. And like, it's about flexibility. It's about some 13% of nightclubs would like to open till 5 a.m. and some for special occasions. It's not like every night is going to be 5 a.m. That doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense in terms of staffing. It doesn't make sense in terms of transport. you know, I think it would only be a good thing for, number one, in terms of safety for the city and for other towns, if everybody isn't coming out at the same time. That's proven now at this point. You know, if everyone is...
And there's a taxi issue as well. A lot of people say the reason they don't go to town, they just can't get away.
There's a lot of barriers to going out these days. Like, the price is one, certainly. The cost of living is another. The transport is another.
So from your point of view, to deregulate it would be a good thing?
Absolutely. I think we need to offer flexibility in all types of spaces at this moment. Yeah.
And would you be fearful if there wasn't deregulation and flexibility that the nightlife economy would continue to suffer?
Well, as you've seen, it's a downward trend in the last 25 years, and there's huge barriers to opening a place like this. And if we're talking about nightclubs specifically, we're talking about spaces that are designed for dancing. You've seen a lot of really nice, interesting listening bars and listening pubs happen, and you see there's no opportunity now for new nightclubs to open or build unless...
Why not?
But because there's such high costs associated with opening those spaces, you know what I mean? And it's very difficult to get the licensing and everything else in place. So
the red tape.
Yeah, the red tape is significant.
Okay, so what's the LVA's take on the nighttime economy? What type of regulatory regime would you advocate for?
Well, we had a lot of engagement with the last government and... You know, Leo Varadkar was very supportive of this. The current government, the new government's programme for government includes the sale of alcohol bill. We support the provisions there. And in simple terms, what they would allow is traditional bars to stay open until 12:30, 7 nights a week. There's no obligation to trade those hours, but you'd have the option to go.
That would be town and country.
Town and country, okay. Nationally. This is a national bill. There's no segregation for Dublin. It would allow late bars to go to 2:30.
Around the country, they get up and do a day's work, so they can't be out late as they are. But carry on.
And we do a bit of work around Dublin too. We then very much welcome.
So 12:30 every pub open till and 7 nights a week, and
late bars to 2:30, 7 nights a week. But the big advantage with the new bill is it proposes getting rid of what's called a special exemption order. So today, if you want to run a late bar to 2:30 a.m., you need to go to the court, employ a solicitor and get a special exemption order, which costs €205 per night, plus your solicitor's.
It's a racket, right.
It's a money maker.
What should it be instead?
It should be, so there's a lot
that
of technical...
That your annual licence would include.
Exactly. Okay. You get an annual late bar permit that you get in September, like your regular pub licence, and it gives you the permission to go 2:30, 7 nights a week. And the bill also provides for a nightclub permit. There is no nightclub licence under Irish law today. It's insane in 2025 that we haven't got
so
a nightclub.
So what would Coppers have, for example?
They'll be operating off a pub licence with a special exemption order. So they trade to 2:30 a.m. with an exemption.
Keep going back to the court for
at 205 per night.
And so, like, if they did Friday, Saturday, Sunday,
if you do 7 nights a week, it's 80,000 a year, plus your legal fees. So there's your
That's
big
insane.
Bar. There's your, it's insanity. And plus you have to go every 6 weeks. You can't even plan your annual calendar because you've got to go to court every 6 weeks to get a block for the following 6 weeks. So we think that should be an annual permit at a reasonable cost. Cost hasn't
and
been
so what's the argument against that?
Against changing.
It seems like a common sense provision.
We need to get the government to move. You know,
like,
no
that seems separate to the 6 a.m. thing.
No, so the third part of the bill, which is where the media and the kind of political focus has been, is the nightclub permit, which in fairness is 5 a.m., not 6. It's last drinks at 5, but out off the premises by 6. And we think that's needed in Dublin. Like, it's insane. In 2025, in a modern capital, with a lot of visitors from the country, a lot of international visitors, big young population, there is no place for people to go late at night, and it'll essentially be a weekend business. Now, the conditions around it are very serious, and we also think that's right, because you don't want every premise in the country trading till 5 or 6 in the morning. It's a very demanding business to run a late bar. It's a very, very demanding business to run a business that could run till 5 a.m. So part of the legislation is 20% of the retail space to be a dance floor. It does require have requirements around DJ box, sound system, lighting system, all of which you would expect in a nightclub. So we think, you know, and we will be calling on Jim O'Callaghan as we move forward to bring forward this bill and to kind of modernise our licensing law to give the trade the flexibility it needs.
Finally, for the season that's in it, Niall, you know Ibiza and Shagaloof and the post-leaving cert, and they seem to be all-nighters, and they're dance raves and so on. Any market for that in Ireland?
Well, I mean, there could be. There definitely could be. And you can do it in a safe manner and a legislated manner, you know. I think definitely. I mean, people don't have to. Young people are already leaving this country because there's not a lot for them. And we talk about barriers there. There's so many barriers to opening those things, to people going out. And it just makes it so much more difficult for anyone to want to stay here. And then there's a wider issue about the actual music that's played as well. You know, Coppers can open late at night because it knows it has a big crowd coming in. Other places may be more hesitant to open those, to apply for the SEOs on a speculative basis if they don't know they have a crowd coming in. And it's about building up that steam and kind of support for those places that they know the reputation is there so they can open late, longer term.
Yeah, I think one thing that's lost in all of this debate, and we're guilty of it ourselves, is the voice of young people and young consumers. So we're looking at it from a licensing point of view and a business point of view. But young people, and by young I mean from 18 to 30, have a clear desire. If you look at Dublin City Council's last nighttime survey, they are looking for places to go late at night at the weekends in particular. And we want to provide that.
All right. Well, my thanks indeed. You heard it there from Niler Nine himself. Thank you very much indeed, and he's available. You can check him out for any good event. And Donal O'Keefe, CEO of the Vintners Association. And that concludes our series on socialising and the different trends. A lot different to my day. All right.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.